Have you ever gone on a plane where there was a storm and it was rough, and then the pilot decided, I'm going to go above this and tick off. I've been on a plane like that before and gone up to like 40,000 feet, and we're above it, and it's great. It's great. This is what Mrs. White says. She says, prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. Those whose hearts are open to receive the support and blessing of God will walk in a holier atmosphere than that of earth and will have constant communion with heaven. We need to have more distinct views of Jesus and a fuller comprehension of the value of eternal realities. The beauty of holiness is to fill the hearts of God's children. That this may be accomplished, we should seek for divine disclosures of heavenly things. Let the soul be drawn out and upward, that God may grant us a breath of the heavenly atmosphere. We may keep so near to God that in every unexpected trial, our thoughts will be turned to Him as naturally as the flower turns to the sun. So that's basically the idea, you know, that we the prayer is not supposed to be just within my little mind and little world. It is supposed to transport us into the throne of God, into the unseen. It's an incredible privilege and calling. And the person who I think in the Bible did it the best, a lot of people did it really well, but I think the person who takes the cake is Enoch. And it says that he walked with God and God took him. Why? Because he was so good at rising into the presence of heavenly atmosphere and setting his mind on things above so well that God says, you know what, Enoch, you're basically already here. So I'm just going to take you. And that's what kind of happened. So that is something that we all can strive for. That was last sermon. Today's sermon is prayer is the cocoon that transforms us. So just a couple of little illustrations. So to have prayer, but to not understand what prayer can do for you is like having a car, having a really fancy car, but you don't have a license or you don't have gas. So it's like, what's the point of having a fancy sports car, right? That's kind of what it is. It's like having a passport, but you never leave the country. What's the point? It's like having a cell phone, but you don't have cell service. You know? You don't have data. So what's the point of that? It's like being married, but you live apart. You never see each other. You never talk to each other. To know that you should pray, but then not understanding what prayer is really about, it's kind of like this. So today, quickly, I'm going to try to rush here a little bit. John 17 is a prayer of Jesus. So here is a little glimpse into Jesus praying. That's kind of rare. We don't see that a lot. And so this is what Jesus prays. And I think our prayers should kind of reflect Jesus' prayer. So here's Jesus praying in John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So he's praying for not only his disciples, but all of us who believe through them, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the what? Glory. And I want you to keep that word in mind. Glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. We studied that, right, in the last quarter's Sabbath school. Unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my what? Glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, talking about us, and that I myself may be in them. Okay? That's Jesus' prayer. So Jesus here is this is a deep prayer. This is a really deep prayer. And he is wanting us basically to become one with him so that we can experience his glory. What is this glory? We'll get to that. What is this glory? Okay? And then here in John 15, we all know this. It's very well. He's talking about branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. Remain in me. And verse 5, what does it say? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then here, finally, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, here it is, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Wow, that sounds like a blank check that you can write, that he gives you. Whatever you wish, it will be done for you. This is to my Father's what? Glory. There's that word again. That you bear much fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. So this thing about whatever you ask for, I will give to you or it will be done, is in the context of what? My Father's glory, and that you bear much fruit. So first of all, from this passage, we get that he wants us to be one with the Godhead. How tight is the Godhead? Can any wedge be put between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? They are so tight. Airtight, right? They're so harmonious that they never disagree. I mean, they're just on the same page. One heart, one mind, right? And that's how God wants us to be with them. It's crazy, right? Crazy. But that's how one he wants us to be. Perfect unity. That we may see his glory. Here it is. What is this glory? The prayers are answered for the Father's glory. Here it is. Exodus 33. Then Moses said, now show me your what? Glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my what? Goodness to pass in front of you. So what's the glory? His goodness. And he passed in front of Moses, claiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That is what Moses saw. And that's what the Lord exclaimed about his glory. So this passage also says that our prayers will be granted, that we might bear much fruit. The prayers in this passage are so that we can bear fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Let's say that together. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the goal and the result of true prayer, the bearing of fruit. And God wants to answer your prayer for more fruit. So we have a song. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true, right? You are the what? Potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray, right? So this concept that God is the potter, this has come from the Old Testament, by the way, that God is the potter and we are the clay and he molds us into whatever he wants to mold us. This is something that God does in prayer. And so when we come to God in prayer, if you leave prayer exactly like you entered prayer, with no change or transformation, that prayer, I don't want to say it was a waste of time. No prayer is a waste of time, but it did not achieve what the prayer was meant to be. Okay? It's not just words. Prayer is meant to be a changing agent. So when you enter and exit, we ought to become more molded into the glory of God. And so here is the glory of God. Paul paints a picture of God's glory. Here it is. Love is patient. You know this. Love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. That's a tough one, right? That's really tough. Keeps no record of wrong, always perseveres, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That is the glory of God right there. And when we enter prayer, every time we pray, we should be molded a little more into this likeness. That is the purpose of prayer. Again, here it is. God paints a picture of himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is who God is. And every time we pray, I forgot a few. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. That's God. And every time we pray, God molds us into his image, like I said. Few quick examples in the Old Testament. David, real quick. David, he committed a bad sin. Bad sin. And he was troubled. He had stuff to make right in his life, had a hard time. And God met David and worked with David in his heart. And this is what David says here. He says, I have nothing. Let's not forget that. Don't read that part. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. That's the prayer of David. And in another one, he says, create in me a what? Clean heart. Lead me in the way everlasting, right? So David, it comes to God with all these issues and sins and a heart that is defiled. And he comes and in prayer, God, he asked God to change his heart to a clean heart. Okay, take away these things from me and see if there is anything in my heart that is offensive. That's David's prayer. And when we pray, that is something we ought to do. We ought to take the time in prayer to ask God, is there something in me that is not right? Is there something offensive in me? That is such a huge and important part of prayer. Jacob. So Jacob, he also did a bad thing. He stole the birthright and blah, blah, blah. Lied and cheated. And he was troubled and he was afraid. He was afraid Esau was going to come and kill him, his whole family. And so he sends his whole family ahead. You remember that story? To meet Esau. And he stays behind. And here's what it says. So Jacob was left behind, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, how could God not overpower a man? Anyway, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" So God is saying, "You know who I am. Why are you asking me?" Then he blessed him there. And Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Jacob enters with his fears and his doubts. And he comes out of this prayer. After the wrestling, he comes out with a new name. With a new name. That's what prayer is about. We enter prayer with our fears and doubts, and we come out as a new person. A person that is blessed and protected by God. Peter, is there an echo here? Yes. Peter, he had issues, and he betrayed God and doubt. I mean, he turned against Jesus and, betrayed him. But here Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." God or Jesus saw what was in Peter. He saw that Peter was vulnerable to temptation and failure. And so Jesus says, "Simon, pray that you can resolve this so that when the temptation comes, when the trial comes, you'll be able to stand." But of course, Peter didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, and he did fail. But it wasn't the final failure. And it comes to this point with the other disciples in the upper room. The disciples entered the upper room to pray, and they entered as cowards. And when they left the upper room after what happened with the Pentecost, when they left the upper room, this is what it says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. this is how they exited. They entered as unschooled, ordinary men, cowards. And when they left that prayer, they took note. And they were astonished. They're new. They're different. They seem to have been with Jesus. That's what prayer can be. Now, I don't want to be a downer, but here is an example of people or those that take prayer and just take it as a formality. So here, Jesus says in Matthew, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus is saying, don't pray to just fill a religious obligation. Because if that's what you're doing, you've got it. That's it. That's all you're going to get. That's your reward. Don't do it just because you have to. Just say, okay, I'm going to check off this little religious list, and I've done it. Don't treat prayer like that. And it says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't just keep babbling mindlessly. When you pray, pray with intention. And pray seeking for a powerful transformation. You enter into prayer with fear and worry and hate, greed, lust, sadness, addiction, anger, doubt, etc. And I'm not saying that every prayer is going to be a powerful, transforming, new life kind of an experience. But if we seek the transforming power of God and ask God in our prayers, seek me and see if there is something in me that can be transformed, that can be changed. If you honestly, sincerely ask that and want it, that's the key, right? Want it. I really believe God will answer that prayer. Amen? That's a prayer that God will answer. There are some that don't want it. I must say, not everybody's going to be woohoo about this whole thing. This is not, I mean, some people find this very scary. Some people don't want to be changed. They like their life. They like what they do, and God, you know, don't interfere any more than that. But if you want it, that is what prayer is all about. And like I said, it's kind of like a cocoon. You enter as a caterpillar or a whatnot, and you enter into the cocoon of prayer. And if you open your heart to God and really be sincere, God will meet you. And he will show you. If you take the time and want it, he will show you. And he will work with you. And you will come out a different person. I just want to close today with this video. And just a little fun video. And yeah. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Lord, thank you that you invite us to have a truly real relationship with you and a truly powerful, dynamic prayer experience. And thank you for inviting us to be one with you, to experience your glory, and to be transformed by it. Thank you, dear God, to this end, and for the wonderful gift of prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's stand as we sing our closing hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Boy, those words keep getting smaller and smaller.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne and all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And enjoy praying and fellowshipping with God. Amen. Have a great week, great Sabbath. We'll see you next time. Potluck. Please stay for potluck.